Question 61. How shall you believe my words? John 5:45-47. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? All the gospel accounts of Jesus agree that Moses testified to the ministry of Christ. From the transfiguration to the resurrection and beyond, one can find the name of Moses and the testimony of the law confirming the acts and words of Jesus Christ. To the Jew, the law and the prophets were ample testimony. When an event, doctrine, or idea was found contained in the law, little argument was posed against it. To have the testimony of the prophets was also corroboration. When Jesus rose from the dead, he took time with the disciples and taught them these testimonies. And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Note in this instance that when Jesus showed these men himself revealed in the scriptures, not one word of the New Testament was yet written. Can we find Christ in the prophets? Have we seen Christ revealed in the law? Perhaps a better question would be, has Christ revealed to us the Old Testament scriptures concerning himself? Unfortunately, many New Testament Christians seem to have an aversion to even reading the Old Testament. Many see the law as damaging to their faith or as a threat of dangerous legalism or justification by works. In reality, the law never taught justification by works. By Abraham's covenant with God, all were justified by faith. Paul taught that the law came about because people continued to sin. The law was added because of transgressions, Paul says. The law showed them that they were sinning. For we who are Christians, this is now the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This ministry, operating in full capacity, renders the law unnecessary in this regard. But who among us could claim to have the Spirit of God working in us at full capacity? Therefore, the law still has its uses among us imperfect ones. This is good news, however. The law is not a threat to faith. As Jesus has told us, it has within it testimonies of him. This quality in itself is interesting. Jesus was constantly referring to the law as he describes his ministry and mission. A good example is John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here Jesus compares his death on a tree, comparable to the brass serpent on a pole that healed the Hebrews of deadly snake bites in Numbers 21. The parallels are striking. We should be more familiar with the riches of the Old Testament. It's a treasure trove of ideas, prophecy, and symbolism that facilitates a better understanding and appreciation for Christ Jesus. As we read it, we feel like we are there with God as he works and thinks and emotes. We feel like offstage observers were privy to the script from the beginning to the end while we see it played out before us. This privilege is a remarkable opportunity. We, as Spirit-filled believers, may read the Old Testament with the understanding that even the writers did not have. Read Jesus' words from Matthew 13:17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. The Holy Spirit makes this insight possible. The Comforter leads, guides and expounds every letter of the scriptures as we read of Christ in the law and the prophets and Psalms. What keeps us from this wonderful adventure that awaits the spirit-led reader of the law and the prophets? Time would fail to even show a small sampling of finding Jesus in the Old Testament. Did you know that Jesus was named for Yeshua, who led the children of Israel out of the wilderness and into the promised land? Do we hear the Lord Jesus' voice in creation, "Let us make man"? Are we aware that His is the heel mentioned in Genesis 3:15? Do we see Him in the scarlet cord of Rahab or the manna in the wilderness? Have we met Him in Melchizedek or seen His parallel in the only begotten son of Abraham that lay upon the altar? Do we hear the familiar jingle of silver paid for the patriarch Joseph as was paid to Judas for Jesus? Doesn't our heart melt in humble acceptance of His love as He declares Himself to us in the Song of Solomon? Can anyone read the Psalms and not hear the heart of the Savior cry for His people? Can we see His figure in Ruth's kinsman redeemer, the lamb of substitution for Isaac, the Passover lamb, the fire of guidance in the wilderness, or the scapegoat sacrifice? Is He not the power of the voice in all the prophets and the lesson in all the laws? If we do not read and therefore believe the law and the prophets, how shall we believe His words? They are one and the same. The Old Testament law speaks of sin and death only to the sinful and dying. From it, the one born from above may receive life and insight into the heart of Jehovah and His Son, Yeshua the Messiah. The redemption of man, the love of God toward His people, the plan of salvation, for all these can be found there. It's not a book that threatens faith. It is, in fact, a book that records the very beginnings of faith. The Jews of Jesus' day knew all the words, yet missed the Word Himself. They fancied themselves as students of the Scriptures, yet Jesus told them that if they had known the Scriptures, they would have recognized Him. Jesus warned those who ignored His appearance in the Old Testament that Moses will point a finger at them in judgment and testify that they were indeed told. Jesus didn't claim to be their accuser, as Moses had already accused them. We stand accused by Moses as well. The Old Testament is not a take-it-or-leave-it proposition. It's not just rhetorical or recreational reading. It's not a book of myths and legends. For if we do not, or worse yet, choose not to believe what we read of Moses, how can we believe Christ? You may claim to follow Christ, but how can you follow whom you cannot believe? For if you don't read and believe Moses' writings, how shall you believe His words?